So if you think that this election season is a little bit tense, you should have seen what it was like when King David died. It makes this look like nothing. Back then, there was no election process. Instead, when King David died, it was more like a bloodbath, as his sons warred with each other and killed each other, and the one who was left standing would be the king. And the one who was left standing was Solomon, the second son of David and Bathsheba, their first son had died being born. So Solomon becomes the king, and the first thing he does is worth noting. The first thing Solomon does is to say thank you to God in worship. The Hebrew people believed that the higher you climbed uphill, the more close you got to God. So God was literally up for them. So they had what they called the high places, which generally were mountains or hills. Solomon went up to Gibeon, one of the high places, and there he said, thank you. Do you know that the word Eucharist, when we say a holy Eucharist, that word in Greek just means thank you, thanksgiving. So Solomon climbs up to the high place, and there he does something that to our modern minds sounds gross and cruel, but really was quite reasonable. The Hebrew people, when they gave thanks to God, they would sacrifice an animal. And I know that sounds awful, but think about it this way. They really didn't eat much meat at all, ever. Their livestock were for tilling the ground, or for milk, or cheese. So to sacrifice an animal was to give to God literally the most valuable thing you owned. They would do it in a very, very kind way, usually slitting the throat. And then they would burn a little bit, but most of the animal would be given as meat to feed everyone. Now think about it, what we do today, we slaughter livestock by the thousands in a way we can't see and then put them in plastic. Is that any better? So Solomon went up to the high place where he sacrificed 1,000 offerings. Whew, that's a lot of beasts. But he fed a lot of people meat who hadn't eaten meat in a very long time. Have you ever tried a steak when you haven't had it in a long time? So they were all very grateful. And they all shared a feast. And that night, Solomon has a dream. And in the dream, God comes to him and God says, ask me for what you want. Ask me for what you want. Can you imagine if God asked you for what you want? Oh my God, fame, good looks, health, success. Oh, love affairs. I don't know, what would you want? Solomon makes the most amazing request of God. But it's not just what he asks for, it's how he asks for it. Before he makes his request, He says to God, "Thank you. I know that I would not be king were it not for you." Now, we can all say that, can't we? If it wasn't for God, do you really think that all the DNA of your ancestors and everything would have combined to produce you? Don't you realize you kind of won the lottery just by being born? So the first thing we say to God is, "Thank you that I'm here." And that's what Solomon says. "Thank you that I am here." And then Solomon says, "But I'm really like a child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in." Remember how Jesus said, "Unless you become like a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven." Hopefully, as we get older and wiser, we begin to know that we don't know a lot, right? Solomon knew that he didn't know a lot. He said, "I'm like a child. I don't understand a lot. And you have asked me to rule over all these people that you love. So this is my request of you. I ask you," and this is what it says in this morning's reading, "I ask you for an understanding mind." An understanding mind. Now, the ancient Hebrew is so big and so difficult to translate. That word mind, it really means heart. You see, back before medicine, the ancient Hebrews, well, every human body, they knew it had a thing in it that moved a lot. And they knew that that thing in the center of your body would move more when you fell in love, when you got mad, when you exercised a lot. So they thought that this heart, this lev, which is translated as heart or mind, was the source of life within you. It was a piece of God within you. And that all wisdom, all intelligence, all consciousness came from this thing that moved within you. And in a way, that is true, isn't it? Although our brains have the thoughts, they wouldn't work without the heart, right? It is the heart that pumps and moves everything throughout our bodies. And this word, an understanding heart, it also means awakened, being able to see, being able to discern. So it's like Solomon is saying, "I want an awakened heart, an understanding mind. I want to see, I want to feel." And then he says, "So that I may discern between good and evil." An understanding heart, an awakened mind. Atul Gawande is a surgeon who has written a book called Being Mortal. He's a lapsed Hindu who grew up in Ohio. He said it was very difficult to practice Hinduism in Ohio. I could see that would probably be the case. But despite his lapsed practice of his faith, he was always questioning God and always asking for wisdom in his medical practice. Over the years, he became quite a renowned surgeon and professor. When his daughter was 15 years old, her piano teacher was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. The cancer had spread to her liver and all over the place. She called up Atul Gawande to tell him about her diagnosis, and he was thinking about her and praying for her when something came to him. He said, "As a doctor, all these years I've been asking people how long they want to live, what procedures they want, how they want to die." He said, "I realized I wasn't asking the right questions. And so I asked this piano teacher, what does a really good day look like for you? When are you most alive? And she said, well, I really love to teach piano. So he said, I'm going to work with you and your doctors to see that you get a few good days of teaching piano. They worked with all of her medications, so she wasn't dull, but she wasn't in pain, and she had 4 weeks to teach her students piano. And at the end of the 4 weeks, they gave a big recital where each one played their best piece. And she went to each student and told them how special they were and gave each of them a gift and listened to their recital. And then she died. Atul Gawande's daughter, who was 15, was so moved by this experience, being with her teacher, learning about the magnificent miracle of music, that she ended up going to Berklee School of Music. What is your best day? He asked. Because Atul Gawande asked for an awakened mind and an understanding heart to ask the right questions. Anyone can accumulate knowledge. The internet has that, doesn't it? What do we want? We need have understanding hearts, awakened minds. Do you remember what is the wonderful prayer that we say at the beginning of our service? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Aren't we basically asking for the same thing that Solomon asked for so many years ago? Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life, that we don't need to sacrifice animals on the altar anymore, because we sacrificed him, and in his dying and rising again, he gave us this sacrament wherein we can actually partake of his very being. And after Mark will consecrate the Eucharist this morning, he will lift up the bread and wine and say, the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. It is how we love and how we understand and how we are awake that matters in this life. So Solomon, I don't know about you, but I think he asked the right question. And when God asked him, he gave a good answer. Amen.